Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Okay. Did anyone ever have to share a bedroom with their brother or sister? Did anyone do that? Did anyone have to share their bedroom with two brothers or two sisters? Do we have an advancement in the one room? Do we have an advancement on three in one room? Do we have any people who had to go four? Five? No, just four? Four. All right, you guys hold the title. It's all about togetherness. It's all about being close. And some people want their personal space. And I know I have a daughter who has a personal bubble that I'm only allowed into every now and then. But it is good to be hanging out together. It's great to be in church. I'm excited about the message this morning, and some of it came out in our worship time today, and we can cover that a little bit more quickly now. But just exciting. I should say congratulations to Bex and Damish for 10 years. They are double digits married. Congratulations on your university anniversary. And I just realised Glenn and Viv, it's actually their anniversary today, I think. And so they're away. Glenn and Viv are back from overseas and came back and they're going away. But I was going to welcome them, but we won't bother. We'll do that. We'll do that next week. And it was actually Jesse and Harry Salisbury's birthday this week. So if you've got a birthday or a significant occasion, let us know, because we'd love to celebrate that with you. And we won't divulge your age, of course, unless you want us to. But it's always good to celebrate those things. In way of introduction this morning, you know, one of the things that we say from time to time is, you know, the goal, objective of our Christian faith is not the pursuit of happiness and as good a movie as it was, but it is not that. It's about being conformed and transformed into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ more and more. And joy, peace, love is an outcome of becoming more like Christ. And so, like in John 3:30, we see that he must increase, but I must decrease. And that's a challenge for me personally. How am I decreasing in kind of like the earthly flesh desires that Phil wants, and having those kind of being swapped and traded for being more like what Jesus wants for my life and those around me? Do you get what I'm saying? So how is it in your life, is he increasing, and how are you decreasing? In what areas of your life are there those struggles? Because at the start of the year, we take usually that opportunity to evaluate our lives and take a look at the areas in which we want to change and see improvement and things like that. And as Christians and as people of faith, turn to the person next to you and say, faith. Faith. I love faith. I love talking about faith. I love learning about faith and hearing stories of faith. And in essence, that's what my message today is about. But as I said in way of introduction, that we are called that he increases in our lives and we decrease. And Romans 12:2 gives us a bit of a hint on how we do that. But do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. To be transformed is going from what was to an upgraded, a better version, a better model of who Phil is. And I know Nat is wanting that more and more, and my kids are wanting that more and more, because I do. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better pastor. And I've got all these areas improving. I want to be transformed more and more into what God wants me to be, and more into who Jesus Christ is. And the question is, how do we do that? How do we become more like Jesus? How do we decrease and he increase in our lives? Well, John 1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So what we're told here is that before time itself began, the Word was and the Word is and is to come. And we see here the Word became flesh. So the Word became Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word incarnate in the flesh. You with me? So how do I decrease and how does he increase in my life? I have to get the Word of God in me, because the Word is Jesus and Jesus is the Word. Are you with me? So any opportunity that we get to get into the Word daily in our own and going over the things, and it sounds like a reminder again and again, but we need to hear it, of just the daily disciplines of the devotion of reading the Word of God. I don't know about you, but every time I read the Word of God, I don't get goosebumps and my hair doesn't stand up and I don't have, like, you know, the trumpets blaring and God's audible voice speaking to me and saying, "Phil, this, thus I verily saith unto thee, this is the word for you today." I don't get that. If you do, more power to you. But what I'm saying is that you won't get that every time. But what we're doing is laying line upon line, precept upon precept, and just depositing the word. And we don't realize how it's transforming our lives. So this year, if you want to become more like Christ, more like Jesus, one very real way to do that is get the word of God into you. So much so that the word of God becomes part of you and you become part of the word of God. It's that kind of like, as I've heard it told by an old school pastor, Dave Robeson, it's like, you know, it's the assimilation of the word of God becoming. It's just you getting into the word and immersing yourself in the word. And that's why we put such an emphasis on the word in this church. And this is why we put an emphasis on life groups and opportunity to get together with others so you can explore and pull apart and investigate the word of God. Because as we say, it's not about what I believe, it's what do you believe? Because when the trials come, it's as I said, it's not before the trial when things are good. It's not after the trial when we're all happy. It's in the thick of the trial is that we need to know what we believe and why. And so as we get together and we wrestle and it's kind of thinking about, you know, in small groups or chatting with people over a coffee at a cafe, it's like, hey, you know, Pastor Phil preached about this. What do you think about that? And what does the Word of God say about that? And you in your own time taking stuff away and taking notes in church on your iPad, iPhone, whatever device you've got, or if you're old school pen and paper, but like, you know, Artie. But yeah, you know, if you go, Artie's actually got an old school diary. He uses pen. Who uses pen and paper for your diary still? Oh, wow. Who else actually sends letters via the post, snail mail? Does anyone ever do that? Okay, let me ask you this. Who likes getting a nice card or letter in the mail? Who likes that? Isn't it funny how we like it, but we don't do it? But anyway, you haven't sent me one. Thanks. Whatever. Whatever. But we've got to get the Word of God into us. We've got to devour. We've got to explore. We've got to hunger after the Word of God. In that is the revelation of who Jesus is. The Word of God is living. It's active. It's alive. It's not just ink on paper. It is. We've got to give it the opportunity through the Holy Spirit, just bringing the words on the paper alive to us and illuminating it to us so we get that understanding that we need for the life that we're living. And so this year, if you want Jesus to increase in your life, then you need to increase the amount of his word that you read and take on board. And so that's my introduction. And it's got nothing to do with the rest of the message. It was just something that I had to say that when I was praying, I thought that I just had to. But my message this morning is about, thanks for listening. Thank you. Faith. Turn the person next to you, say faith again, just so you remind each other. All right, so this morning, what I want to do in the next little while before it gets too hot, because I know it's going to be a scorcher today, but what I want to do is I want to stir your faith this morning. I want to build into your faith this morning. I just, wow, do it. But I want to stir your faith this morning. We all need our faith stirred. And I don't know what this year's going to hold. It's going to have some highs, it's going to have some lows, but we all need our faith stirred. I remember I was just at my niece and nephew moved over this weekend, the one that I had the privilege of marrying in Adelaide a few weeks ago. And actually, my sister and nephew are here. It's great to have Lindy and Timmy here today. So, you know, if you want somebody to blame for all my emotional scarredness, she's responsible for a lot of the things that happened to me as a child and why I've become the wonderful young man that I am. It's all credit to her. But I was standing at the engagement party and this young lady came up to me and I recognized her, but like, you know, I used to be her youth pastor and she came up to me, her name's Vashti, and she comes up and we start having this conversation and she was just like, "Oh, Phil, do you remember like, you know, when we did youth and like we went on the youth camps and you guys used to chase a sheep out of the paddock and you'd bring it into the dorms and then you'd let ducks loose in the rooms and you'd lock the door so none of the girls could get out and you'd beep the horn of the truck and stuff and we'd all wake up and there's a sheep and a duck flying around in our room and, you know, like when you woke us all up at 2:30 a.m. and the trumpets are blaring, had a guy playing trumpet and we'd play fireball soccer and like at 2:30 in the morning and, you know, just all this crazy stuff we used to do and I've just gone, oh man, I forgot forgot about that. How cool. And then Charlotte just went on, you know, they were just like the best times ever, the crazy stuff we used to do and just, you know, reminiscing about all this really cool stuff. And she even remembered, I can't believe this, but she actually remembered some of the sermons that I preached that I'd forgotten. And like, she's just going, oh, you know, that stuff that you taught us and that, it just really just made a difference in my life. It's just so good. And it was just great to... Have you ever been in that situation where you catch up with somebody, or you talk to somebody and they remind you of something you've forgotten about, but it kind of like just brings back a really good memory and you think, wow, that was just a good time. That was just a good thing. And, you know, and I think sometimes what we need to do in regards to our faith, we need to be reminded of some of the things that help to bring joy and peace and strength to our lives, because we so easily forget, because we live in the now and we're so focused on the future. But sometimes we've got to go, wow, some of those principles that we've learned, and Peter says this in 2 Peter 3, he says, you know, I've written two letters to you so that I might remind you to be of wholesome thinking. So he's having to remind, and Paul goes, I write this to remind you of the former things, these elementary truths. I've gone over them, but I need to remind you. So some of what I'm saying today, I believe, is some stirring, some challenging, some reminding of some principles that we need to have in our minds coming into the new year. And of course, faith is one of those things that we need to be reminded about, because that's what it's about. We're saved by grace through faith. It's pivotal to our relationship with Jesus Christ. And as you know, the great modern day theologian Bono says, some things need to be believed to be seen. They need to be believed to be seen. And that's the thing. Like, we are called to have faith to enter into that relationship with God and to walk daily in that relationship with God. You know, I just see, you know, this area of faith and stretching and growing in our faith, and that's my desire as your pastor this year, that each one of you would grow. And, you know, I was just remembering, and of late with a few little kids around and stuff, you know, sometimes you pick up a kid and you kind of like look at them and they're feeling all safe and secure in your arms, and you hold them out a little bit and they kind of start to look a bit worried, and then you do that one. And like, just the, some kids' faces are just like, and they're just, you know, they're just like freaking out. And then I go, okay, you obviously don't have an older brother or sister to torment you like I had three of them, you know, oh, woe is me. Or, you know, that maybe they're just not used to being thrown up in the air. You know, you kind of get that full-on kind of reflex happening, just like, ah. And then, like, you know, you catch them, and there's that kind of semi-shocked, semi-excited look on their face. It's like, ha. You know, and then you kind of go to do it again, and they're not sure, but you do it anyway. It's like, wow, and throw them up. And then this time it's not as much of that. It's a bit more like, yeah, more of a smile. And it's kind of like, and then you kind of like, you hold them, and then what do you ask them? More or again? And then depending on the age of the child, that's what you get. It's just like more. So first of all, they're freaked out, and you throw them up, they come down, and it's just nonstop. It's like, you know, the dog with the ball. It's just like, they want to do it for hours. It's just so cool. But the first time, it's kind of freaky. And it's like that in our faith. Because I know we've got people in this church that you're just starting this relationship, and you put yourself in the hands of God the Father, and He's loving and He's strong and it's safe. But if He hasn't yet already, He is about to this year. And guess what you're going to do? Ah! It's going to be like that. But the great thing is, He's going to catch you. And then you're going to kind of be semi-freaked out and kind of not sure, and then He'll go to do it again, and then it'll be like, you'll be going, God, more, again, more. And yet some of us who have kind of been sitting in the church deal for a while, it's like, getting thrown up in the air is no big deal. You know, it's whatever. We shouldn't get too complacent in our faith. Shouldn't get too comfortable in our faith. Maybe if you've been kind of in the Christian deal for a while and you're a bit comfortable, maybe you need to go skydiving in your faith. Not literally. I'd love to, but... Or bungee jumping in your faith. Artie? No good? That's funny. I'll leave that alone. But like, I just see that, like, you know, as I was thinking and praying about us as a church, I'm just so excited to see that we've got, you know, ladies and our young people that are just starting to experience what it's like, you know, to step out in your faith and to be thrown up in the air and kind of like, freaking out, but just knowing that God is there and he will catch you. And others that we might just need that challenge, that encouragement not to get comfortable. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 4, because this is our key passage for the year, and we'll be referring to it from time to time. Romans chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 17. Always advisable to bring your Bible or a piece of technology that's got a Bible app or something. It's important that we read the Word of God, and I've emphasized why just before. But to have that, and also to have pen and paper or the opportunity to take notes in church, that's not to boost my ego, seriously. It's not for me to feel good that people are taking notes in church. That's not what it's about. What it's about is that God wants to speak to you. You're going to step out on is that one of sharing your faith with others. Because I think that's when you really start to see your faith in action. Of actually kind of wanting to share that with somebody else. Because the reality is, guys, as we've said and we will keep saying, that you are our growth, church growth strategy. If you're wondering how Compass Church is going to grow, you're it. You're it. It's up to you guys to do what you can. You know, my theory is simply that, you know what, if there's some way that I can invite someone and they end up sitting here for 1 or 2 weeks, God does the rest. It's, you know, yeah, we try to do things as well as we can and all that kind of stuff. But when people actually start to get to meet some of the awesome people that we have around here and they experience the presence of God and God starts to do something, it's like, let God do it. I wholeheartedly believe the Holy Spirit is the one at work in this place that brings about the change, transformation, healing, everything. It's not, got nothing to do with me. So don't shoot the messenger. Take it up with God. But let me just close with this. Just want to remind you just simply of who our God is. God himself is spirit and he operates outside of our realm and way of doing things. His ways are higher than our ways. He works outside the restrictions of time and space and he's not limited as we're limited. We're finite and we're restricted in so many ways, but God works outside of all of that. It's hard for us to get our heads around that sometimes. That we have this incredible God that, as I was saying before, that he is just omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. He's all of these things. I mean, we live and breathe and we're dependent upon elements and food and shelter and all those things, but God doesn't need anything. He's self-sufficient in every way, shape or form. Nothing can be added to him in any way. He is complete in every way. We're simply called to trust him, hold on to him, believe in him. Shift from doubt and frustration, shift from focusing on the need to focusing on him, leaning into his everlasting arms. So for me, I choose to hold on. I choose to trust his timing. I choose to trust that this situation I'm going through, yes, it had a beginning and I may feel like I'm in the middle of it, but it will have an end. I choose to believe that he will come through. I choose Jesus Christ no matter what comes. I choose to believe that he is working on my behalf. I choose to believe that he's working this stuff in my life for the good, to strengthen me, to shape me, to mold me, to be more like Jesus. I choose faith. I choose life. I choose his promises. I choose to be fully persuaded that he will come through. I choose to believe that he isn't finished with me or our church yet. I choose to believe that he's bigger than my weaknesses and the things that I can't beat or get over. He's bigger than all of them. I choose to be fully persuaded. How about you? How about you? Let's pray. Father, I just thank you this morning that you've got a great year lined up for us. And Father, I don't say that just to try to generate some excitement, Lord, but I know, Father, your word says that you want your bride, your church, to flourish, to impact this community. You want us to be your ambassadors, to be your spokespeople, to be your hands and feet in this community, this city, and the nations of the world. Thank you that you've called us into this community and this city. I thank you for the things that you've got lined up for us this year. Father, we just praise you and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord over Compass Church for 2014. Father, in the coming weeks, as we begin to talk about those key focus areas for us as a church, I pray that you would ignite something in our hearts, Father God, a sense of excitement, anticipation, a sense of commitment to what you're wanting to do in and through this church, we pray. Heavenly Father, just as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I've talked about having a relationship with God and that being having that relationship that you can trust God, that he will come through, that he'll be there for you. And just having that person, not knowing about him, but actually knowing him. And if you don't personally know Jesus Christ, if you never asked him to come into your life, into your world, if you've never asked him to forgive you of all the wrongs that you've done and you've not made your peace with God, I'd love to give you that opportunity today. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You may have faith in different things and it's left you a bit empty, or it's not exactly, there's still something missing. Well, that something is actually a someone, and that someone who's missing is Jesus Christ. And the offer of salvation, the offer of relationship with God is available to you today. And it's just simply acknowledging that you fall short of his standard, perfect standard. That you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross for all your sins. And see, just confess with your mouth that he is Lord. And the Bible says that he will forgive you of your sins and you can enter into a brand new life-changing relationship with him. Is there anyone here today? I don't want to embarrass you, but all I do is get you to put your hand up, and I'd love to chat with you after this service is done. Is there anyone? You go, Phil, that's me. I want that relationship with God. I want to have that faith, not in something, but someone. Just raise your hand so I can see. I'd love to pray with you after this service is done. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you for each person here today. Lord, I would just thank you for the journey that we've been on as a church, but I just thank you for this year. And again, I commit it to you. And Lord, I just pray your blessing over your people today as we get to hang around now and chat for a bit and wherever we need to go, whatever we need to do, Father, I just pray that we'd be aware of your presence with us, that, Lord God, we would just aim to bring you glory. Father, less of us, more of you. May we grow in our faith this year. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.